Hi, this is Richard Garfield with The Game Glimpse. Each week, I'm going to bring you a game that I've been thinking about. I'll tell you what interests me in the game, and maybe you'll be motivated to try it. If you've already tried it, maybe it'll give you stuff to think about, or just disagree with. My game today is Dice Down by Ludovic Malblanc and Bruno Cathala. Ludovic Malblanc has produced a number of games, including Kill Dog, Cash and Guns, and Mr. Jack. I'm not so familiar with his games. Bruno Cathala has also designed quite a number of games, best known for Shadows Over Camelot with Sarah J. Laggett. I would describe Dice Town as a wild dice-rolling game, an original dice-rolling mechanic, at least it's original to me, and it's got a comical Wild West flavor. Claims it's good for 2 to 5 players. I've played it with 3, 4, and 5. I think it might be good with 2. And it's a fast game. It claims 30 to 45 minutes. I think that's fair. General structure of the game is that everybody generates a poker hand with 5 poker dice, and then they resolve a number of events which trigger off of that hand. For example, the person with the most 9s gets to take 1 nugget for each 9 from the gold mine, and then the person with the most 10s gets to steal money from the bank. There's a total of 6 different events which take place, and then there's 1 special event, Dr. Bad Luck. In case you didn't get anything that turn, you get to go to him, and he gives you something, which is often quite good.
You iterate this until the game ends, and after that, there's points generated from all sorts of things, including your gold nuggets and your money and whether you're sheriff at the end.
The sheriff has a very important role in the game. The person with the most kings gets to be sheriff every turn. And the sheriff's duty is to resolve ties. So if 2 players both had 3 9s, the sheriff would decide which one of them got to take 3 nuggets from the gold mine. Naturally, if the sheriff was one of those 2 players, the sheriff would probably choose themselves. The dice rolling mechanic in Dice Town is original, at least it's original to me. Each player simultaneously rolls their 5 poker dice. Then all the players choose simultaneously which ones they want to keep. All players then reveal which ones they've kept, set them aside, roll the remainder. Players iterate this until somebody's kept all their dice. And at that point, each other player rolls the dice 1 more time. You get to keep 1 die for free. If you want to keep any number other than 1, you have to pay $1 for every extra or less die. That means if you keep no dice, you pay $1. If you have 3 dice, you pay $2. This encourages players to slowly build a hand rather than build it all at once. This interacts in a really exciting way with the overgame, because as you see the other hands developing, you can adapt your strategy. For example, if on the first roll I kept a 9 and somebody else kept a 9, then one of us is going to be disappointed with that 9 because only one of us can go to the mine. Hey, I just realized 9 and mine rhymes. Maybe that's part of the reason. So we can both continue to pursue our 9s, or we could back off. If the person you're competing with on 9s is the sheriff, you might want to back off. Oftentimes, just flat-out random rolls are pretty good, at least in a 3 or 4 player game, because just random results can get you goodies. For instance, you can see this, that if I've got a full house and somebody else has 4 of a kind, and then you've just got a bunch of random dice, well, we're committed to several different categories, but your random results could pick up a nugget, or you might end up robbing the bank or going to the general store with your stray dice. And of course, if nothing pans out, you can always go visit Dr. Badluck. The only thing you use money for, besides possibly bribing the sheriff, more on that later, is for the dice, paying for the dice. You don't have to pay for the general store or anything like that. And of course, the money is worth victory points at the end. Running out of money adds a whole level of pain to the die rolling part of the game, because if you have no money, you are compelled each turn to keep exactly 1 die. And this is, of course, the point when fate sends you 5 of a kind and full houses and all those excellent rolls you've been waiting for, and you can only keep 1 of those dice and you have to re-roll the rest. This means I would think twice about spending all your money, and if you've got only $2 or $3 left, I would spend it very carefully. and probably try to rob the bank to replenish your finances. I really very much enjoyed the dice rolling and the way it interacted with the board game. Dice Town is a very political game. There's a lot of ways to affect the other players. When I refer to a political game, what I mean is that you can differentially affect other players. So, for instance, there is a card, rob a player of your choice of some money. That's sort of, in my mind, a classically political card. But the biggest place you get politics is the sheriff. The sheriff resolves ties and has to choose between other players on a regular basis. If one of those players is himself, then that's not so political because he can just choose himself. But if it's two other players, then it's often a political decision. I've got mixed feelings about politics in games. The sort of classic Euro design makes it so the interaction is indirect, which makes the politics sort of a passive-aggressive affair. You do things which indirectly affect the other players in a differential manner. In games like Dice Town, it's much more directly interactive. I like directly interactive. It feels good to me. But except under special circumstances, it does make the game often very political. There's nothing wrong with a very political game. A lot of people very much like them, and I have been enjoying Dice Town, but it does mean that the game is inherently a bit more casual. Consider, for example, Scrabble. Scrabble's an excellent, very, very serious two-player game. If you start adding three and four players, there's more politics in that I can open up things for my neighbor. Serious players don't want to play three and four-player games, but casual players enjoy that game very much. And, of course, there still is a lot of skill to it. It's just your skill can be very much affected by how your neighbors play. Some of the benefits you get for overt politics like this is that you have little competitions between people. It's a lot of fun to see Dave and Bill compete over being the sheriff and picking on each other each time. In fact, briefly, there was a moment where I thought that this competition for the sheriff would result in my winning the game handily because they were spending all the resources getting the sheriff from time to time. But, of course, one of them won one game and one of them won the other, so what do I know? Another benefit for a political game like this is that in many ways it's self-balancing. If a player pulls way out ahead, they're going to be picked on more. And it's even self-balancing in sort of a meta sense. If one person wins one game, they'll probably be picked on in the next game. Now, there's enough dice and strategy in the game that players can overcome these being picked on, but it does make it harder. The game, in fact, encourages players to bribe the mayor to resolve things in their direction. We didn't play too much with that because, well, that's partially a political move, too, because if I'm going to rob the bank of $10 and somebody else might rob the bank of $10 and the sheriff begins to ask for bribes, well, it's not illogical for us to both bid it up to $9 and get only $1 out of it because I'd rather pay $9 and get $1 than to let the other person get $2 and give the sheriff $7 or $6 or whatever. Math is hard. Since our players were hesitant to pay the sheriff very much, ties were not as powerful for the sheriff, unless the sheriff was actually involved with the tie. But it was still plenty powerful, and the sheriff did occasionally make a buck or two off of a disinterested tie. But a lot of playgroups, I think, will have fun bribing the sheriff and playing it to the hilt, even though we underplayed ours. So if you don't mind politics, and you're looking for a quick game with a lot of luck and some tactics and great flavor, then it's hard to do better than Dice Town. And even if you aren't interested in it because of the politics, it's still worth checking out probably just because the dice mechanism and the way it relates to the board is so clever. And now it's time for the kids' turn.
So, Tara.
Hi, I just won.
What did you think of that game?
It was really fun.
What is it that you like about this game?
I like that it's kind of like poker, but with dice and cards. It's like a big happy family.
It's kind of like poker, but with cards.
Cards. Oh. It's kind of like poker, but with dice and a board and even more cards and money and gold. It's just like a big happy family.
What do you think the term for female sheriff is?
Sherry Terry.
And that's it. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Game Glimpse. Feel free to leave any comments you have. If you want to suggest any games, you can do that too. Maybe your game will be the next one I glimpse.
So that means I have 25 and a half.
10, 11, 12, 13. 13 and a half. Even worse than my last horse. Oh, wait, no, I didn't get 13 and a half. I got 17 and a half.
27.
Oh,
17
see?
And a half.
Always. They never let up on Richard.
Well, I was clearly in last place. You can tell.
No.
You said it was very easy for you to tell who was in the lead.
Yeah.
You counted my cards.
Yeah.
I had none.
I knew you were in last place, but never relent. Never relent on the pounding.
I got 44.
What?
44.